For me to have the opportunity to listen and to gain from the exercise, I have five brief points. The first is that it seems to me that there is consensus that exploring in greater depth the intersection between systemic racism and movement of persons in transit, as it is linked maybe also to migration and refugee status and so on, is a useful topic, and that there needs to be a greater infusion of a human rights-based approach to the issues within this thematic area. So I thank also the South African representative who indicated that there may well be a specific request coming through a resolution, and to just reiterate that the advisory committee is ready to be guided by that process. The second point is that I am also quite under the impression of the intersectionality and also the multiplicity of perhaps legal fields that come into play when we look at this particular topic, because on the one hand it is international human rights law, but it is also refugee law, and sometimes the dichotomy is drawn between these two fields. But I think there's an inevitability, if one looks through a human rights lens, that these two fields will be much more merged, because what it is about here is the principle of non-discrimination and the right to equality. So I think, you know, non-discrimination on the basis of race, nationality, and other factors. So from that point of view, it will be a synergy of legal fields, sometimes divorced from each other. Also, the law of the sea, broader principles of international law also come into play. So I think the focus of this study could be contributing by bringing together also areas of law or human rights related law that often is dealt with in silos, but to see how they cumulatively also shed light on a particular area. The third point is to thank also the Russian, the representative of the Federation, Russian Federation, for the very poignant illustrative examples that were given. I think those are very poignant and illustrative. From our own personal point of view, I could say that you know, and in another capacity, we had been involved from the university where I am based in an event that was also organized in Geneva, and we also experienced you know, the inability of some of our teams to participate in the event because visas were not issued. And if you look at it, five regions of the world were involved, but the only teams that could eventually not make it were teams from the African continent. So again, it is about looking under the surface to discern patterns and try to understand why these patterns are manifesting themselves. The fourth point, very briefly, is to say, I think that also we are looking here not only at the state as the entity with responsibility, but also non-state actors such as, for example, private companies, the ones that are developing technology, artificial intelligence. Clearly, it is, again, a dual responsibility. The state has to retain oversight and regulation responsibility, but there must also be increasingly a clarity about responsibility on these non-state actors, including the media that had been mentioned as well. And then lastly, I think an interesting element of the potential study would also be a multidisciplinary approach, as much as one will focus on law, human rights law, and the other legal aspects, one will also clearly have to focus on the broader ways in which societies change over time, because you can change the laws, but you also need to change the so-called hearts and minds. And the special rapporteur referred to the role of education and ways in which public opinion needs to be also targeted to ensure that there is an embeddedness in which the greater tolerance of people on the move would be cultivated. Thank you so much for everyone's contributions. It was certainly very interesting and enlightening to me to be part. Thank you, Chair.